So for Chulin today, we started yesterday the sugya of Nat Bar Nat, and we were going through the Moreshes Moshe, and the last thing that we discussed was the Ritva. And we'll see if the pages come out, but in the meantime,
I've got one page there, I think.
Oh, that's good, if you can get that page. And the Ritva makes this kind of a kalachomer from Recha Milsa to Nat Bar Nat, and that equation seems to indicate the underlying understanding of the Ritva is that Nat Bar Nat is a problem of a tam she'eino murgash. Any luck?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. That takes a tremendous headache off my head in terms of the photocopy. Now I just have to find the page for myself. Oh, no.
This is Kufnun Hay that we just did in the
Kufnun Hay. Okay, so hopefully
not for now. No,
So
one second, there's something fishy here. Kufnun Hay. Wait. Do me a favor, Abosa, if I can ask you for a favor. Whenever I ask you to photocopy something, if you could bring me back the page here, because now I can't find it. Let's see, maybe it'll... No. It's a different system. You see, there's so many different sections here.
This is an Otsar.
Oh, okay, now I found it. It's all the way... There are many Kufnun Hays here, so
if
you just, keep it open for me, you know, that it saves me a couple of very crucial, precious moments here, because, you know, our time is somewhat precious. So we're looking at an essay here called Otsar HaYudim, which breaks up into no less than 15 different parts. Now, I'm not telling you that we're going to go through all 15, but at least we'll try to get a haschola, just try to get a tchila, if you pardon that word, and we'll try to see where we go from there. So let's just take a look at some of the different subtitles here. There's number one, Halachu Makora. So for that, we go back to Rav and Shmuel on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis to see the source for Nat Bar Nat. Then we get into the Lamdus in the second section, which is called Geder HaHalacha. And here in Mirtz Hashem, we hope to introduce the Prima Godim, if you remember, that we did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the third section, which is Tam HaHalacha. I'm not sure exactly how that's different from Geder HaHalacha. And then we have B'mokum Shatam Murgash. That was our full-fledged discussion yesterday in the Prima Godim. And that's where we quoted the Ritva, who makes this kind of kalvachomer from Recha Milsa. And finally, we have a discussion here about Bittel, whether or not perhaps Nat Bar Nat operates midin Bittel. We're going to have other discussions about whether or not you can actually mechanically, with your own hands, and deliberately create a Nat Bar Nat situation. So would I be allowed to cook the fish with meat with the full intention of eating that fish with milchiks? That's not so simple.
So if it's b'din bitul, ein mevat lemisu l'chadchila.
That's true. So that certainly the fifth section and the seventh section would be interrelated, if not, overlapping. Now, what about Nosing Tam Bar Nosing Tam and Isurim? Until now, we've been discussing a Terebola. What's the status of Chavetz before Pesach? Is that called Heterebola? Because all year round you're allowed to eat Chavetz. And that would really save us a lot of hassles, you know, with Chavetz Nick and Kalin. And then if you fast forward to the last section here, Tesvav, he says Dover Charif. And that's a very interesting question, whether or not a Dover Charif could make a Tam, no say Tam or no say Tam, into a, instead of being a Tam Kolish, into a Tam Gomor. So the first paragraph, I think we've more or less covered in the past. We can very quickly review it with our eyes, and you'll see on the fourth line, the fifth line, Hela Dagim Roschim Bekara Shel Basar. So he's got fish with the tam of basar in it. And Rav says you're not allowed to eat that fish with milchiks. And Shmuel allows it. Shmuel says that the tam of basar in the fish is not a tam gavur, but rather it's no say tam bar no say tam. So the fish did not receive the tam, absorb the tam of the basar directly from the basar. Although we saw in the Ramban in the name of the Yesh Omrim that that might be the case. Ella, but rather, what happens is the fish receives the tam of basar through the intermediary of the keli, which means that the basar gave its tam into the keli, and from the keli into the fish, that's already no saint tam bar no saint tam. And in this case, the tam is a weak tam. Mm-hmm. And it's not considered a halachic tam, and therefore you're allowed to eat this fish with bilchiks. That's Shmuel, and the Shulchan Aruch in Tzarihei codifies the halacha like Shmuel.
So when we say ta'am ki ikar, we mean ta'am, not bar not.
Right. Not bar not, because it's a tam kolush, does not come under the halacha of tam ki'ika. That's the sheet of who? Shmuel. Rav holds, no. Even if it's a tam kolush, the Torah says that tam ki'ika, the tam, no matter how strong or weak it is something that generates isa. Okay. Now, the first question that he wants to ask here is whether or not we're dealing with a Tam Sheni or a Tam Shlishi. And we've discussed this at great length, so I'm very excited about the fact that what we covered in the Bereshis Moshe is now reflected here in the Otsar Yudin. And he says the following, what do you mean by Tam Kolish? There's a Machlokas Rishonim about this concept called the Tam Kolish. Is the Tam Sheni itself considered, or shall we say, classified as a tam kolush, and therefore it's not considered a tam basar? That's Shmuel's breakthrough here. That once you get to a tam sheni, then that tam sheni is not tam ki'ika. Tam ki'ika only applies to tam rishon. So tam sheni of basar, you're allowed to eat with chol because the tam sheni is not considered tam ki'ika. Can never generate any sort of an isur.
So that's Shmuel.
Again, everything we're saying is Shmuel. I'm sorry, I forgot to make that introduction. But we're offering a machlokas. We showed him how to understand Shmuel's Tam Kolosh. In the first approach, we're saying that the Tam Sheni, according to Shmuel, is the Tam Kolosh, and it doesn't have the power to generate any isur. In the second sheet of the Rishonim, Tam Sheni itself is considered a Tam, even according to Shmuel, but it doesn't have the koach to impact on a tam shlishi, being in passing on its tam to the kuta, what we're having is a third stage, that's called tam shlishi, and although tam sheni is also according to this approach in Shmuel, but tam shlishi is mutu.
The only thing that over
and everything here is heter, correct?
Heter.
So again, if you remember, we had in the Bereshis Moshe a school of thought that said the Tam Sheni itself is not going to generate an Isur. If you remember, there were three Akafos, and the second and third Akafos said that Ein Bekoch Tam Sheni Atzmo Lios Osur, that the Tam Sheni is not a Cheftzid Isur. Whereas the first Akafa, which was identified as the Ramban sheet, that said that the Tam Sheni cannot pass on a Tam to a Tam Shlishi in order to generate an Isur. But a Tam Sheni itself would be Asur. And that would be reflected here in this paragraph in the second Shita. You see, that second Shita is really the Ramban when he says that Tam Sheni is Choshev Tam, meaning it would generate an Isur. But when it goes into the Kuta, we're up to the stage of Tam Shlishi. The first opinion that he suggests is the opinion of Beis and Gimel that we did yesterday, which is the H. Omrim and the Ramban and Rabbi Kiveger, that a Tam Sheni, although it would be able to engender an Iser, but it cannot engender an Iser into something else which becomes a Tam Shlish. Now he quotes in the left column the Ramban. The Ramban says that Tam Sheni is a Tam Gomor even according to Shmuel. Shmuel's Chiddush was that a Tam Sheni cannot generate another Tam, because then it becomes in the recipient a Tam Shlishi. And therefore Tam Sheni Eino Oser Acher. Tosis, on the other hand, the Daf Kuf Yud Aleph of the Beis and the Rosh and others are of the opinion that the Heter of Nosei Tam are Nosei Tam is to be matter the Tam Sheni itself. That the Tam Sheni is weak, it's kolush, and it's not considered by the Torah to be Tam. The Torah doesn't recognize this under the principle of Tam Ki'ika, because it's already a Tam kolush insofar as it's a Tam Sheni. Now, we're assuming, this is not the Acherim in the Ramban, but rather we're assuming that the reason why a Tam Sheni, according to Tosfos, is Mutter as a Tam Kolush, is because the Tam Basa went into the Kli, and then from the Kli it went into the Dak. That's already a weak Tam called a Tam Sheni. If he would have cooked fish together with meat, then that's not a Tam Kolush at all, and that Tam would be awesome. However, now we get to the Acherim in the Ramban. And that you should see on the bottom left of the page that we're doing now, and he quotes the Acherim. Shita Mechudeshes, Yosef. Do you see such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
He says that Tam Sheni Eino Tam, and therefore if you cook fish together with meat, and the fish therefore receive the Tam directly from the meat, you're allowed to eat that fish with milchiks. Why? Because there's only a din of Tam Rishon in the fish, and then when you put the fish together with the Kutah, you're up to the level of Tam Sheni.
So, you're talking about a case where the fish was cooked with the meat.
Correct. And then he takes out the fish and he wants to eat it with Kuta. He's allowed to do so, according to this Shita, which is the Acherim quoted by the Ramban.
That's hard to believe.
It sounds like it's hard to believe, but again, if you assume that Tam Sheni ain't no Tam, then what's happening is, even if I consider the fish to have received Tam Rishon, insofar as you cooked it with the basa, but nevertheless now the fish has to pass on that Tam to the Kudach, and that's already Tam Sheni, and now we're holding according to the Achim of the Ramban that Tam Sheni could not generate an Isa. So let's say, for example, if you were to cook, let's say, basar heter with basar shkuta, then the basar Heter now has a Tam Rishon. When that Basar Heter falls into another container with other pieces of kosher meat, we now have a Tam Sheni. The only problem is that that Tam Sheni is also even according to the Acher of the Ramban, because that's called what? Isura Bala. That's not Heter Bala.
You said Nevela, but you meant Nevela.
So he cooks Nevela together with Shkuta in one pot.
Right. And then once he's dealing with Isur,
and now you have a Tam Rishon, Now you're going to tell me, well, let him put this shchuta together with other shchutos in the second taroves, and it becomes the tam sheni, which according to the Acherim of the Rabban is mutter. The answer is then. The Rabban in the name of the Acherim was only going to be matter a tam sheni in the case of a terer bala, but not in the case of isur of bala.
You're just testing us.
What do you say?
You're just testing us.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Rabban himself. The Rabban himself says that Tam Sheni is Tam, and it would generate Isur, but it doesn't have the koach to impact on the Kutach, which now becomes Tam Shlishi. And now he is bothered by this. Now let's see who he's quoting here. Oh, this is going to be Rabbi Kiveger, which is going to give us the third round. And we're going to now begin to understand why Rabbi Kiveger rejected this concept of the Tam Sheni being mutter. And he says the following.
Where is this?
This is the last three lines on the page, going on to the next page. So you're going to flip it over in just a minute.
This is the bottom one. She's the Rambam.
Correct. Because what we're learning now in this paragraph is from Kiveger. He says, Vadua butu lechol es adogim v'chol. Harei b'dogim atzmi yishtam basu v'chol. Oh, he's asking the following kasha, Rabbi Kiveger. What about the tam chola that goes into the fish? Do you follow? He took the fish after he cooked it in a fleshika pot and he inserted it, he mixed it into kutach. Well, the kutach is going to give a tam of cholov that goes into the fish. So now the fish
they're
is carried
together inside the fish.
Exactly. And now the fish has both a tam basar and a tam cholov in it. You might call it a tam sheni, but it doesn't matter. Why? Because we're holding down like the Ramban that a tam sheni generates an isma. And this is going to lead to Rabbi Kiveger. Again, if you happen to have the Moreshes Moshe open, you don't have to open it, but if you see it on page Tav Kuf Yud Zayin, Rabbi Gimel, on the left side, he quotes Rabbi Kiveger and says, Ein b'kof tam sheni atzmo lios osur. And what led Rabbi Kiveger to that conclusion? Because if the Rabban is maintaining that tam sheni is osur, that was Hakofa Aleph here, in the Moreshes Moshe, just that when you mix it with kutach, it becomes a tam shlishi. In fact, Rabbi Kiveger, what do you mean tam shlishi? Who are you fooling here? This is not a tam shlishi. The tam of the cholov in that kutach is now going to go into the dogim, and the dogim has a tam of basar. So now the dogim is suffused with both the tam cholov and the tam basar. That's not a tam shlishi. That's the dogim itself. He says, "Hari b'dogim atzum yesh tam basa v'cholav, the omnam hacholav yei mutter." I admit that the milk would should remain mutter because that's called the tam shlishi, right? Because the basa went into the kedera, from the kedera to the fish, and finally from the fish into the kutach. And we're going now quick to the Ramban, the tam sheni is a tam that generates Easter, but when you get to tam shlishi, that's already impossible. The tam sheni could not generate a tam shlishi. He says, but heich hadogim utar. You want to underline those words?
Yeah.
Heich hadogim utar. This is Rabbi Kiveger. This is the rub, as we say. Now, isn't that a Shakespearean phrase? That's the rub, or something like that?
Oh, therein lies the rub.
Therein
lies
the rub. Therein lies
the rub. Therein lies the rub. That was Shakespeare. So this four-word phrase, heich acheich adogim utar, therein lies the rub. This is Rabbi Kiveger in four words. You can obviously reduce the whole structure of Rabbi Kiveger, the reason why he rejects the Rabban, to four words, because the Rabban is telling us that the only reason that Shmuel is matir using the dogim with kutach is because it becomes a tam shlishi. But what about the dogim themselves who are now absorbing the tam of the kutach? And they already have within them the tam of the basar. How can you be matin the dogim? Rabbi Kivay has no qualms about the chol. That I can be matin. That's tam shlishi. But what about the dogim themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Hare, and he embellishes it. And we're going to turn, flip to the other side. He said, Hare hacholov shemis bashel im hadogim no se tam dogim. You follow? So as far as it's a one way street here. You know what I'm saying? As far as the dogim giving tam into the cholov, that's okay. That's already tam shlishi. But what about the other direction? You know, the cholov itself is here in the mixture, and it's being cooked together with this fish, and it's now giving a tam of cholov into the fish. The fish now has within it both basar and cholov, a combination of those two tamim. In case yesh lesar sadogim, shor yesh mem tam sheni shel basar shu choshev ketam. Now let me just see if he mentions Rav Kivega here. So
I don't
far,
see Rav Kivega referenced here at all.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
I don't even know.
I'm a little bit surprised, but
wait, footnote tet.
Oh yeah, tet. Let me just see. Where's footnote tet? Is it the next paragraph?
It's in the next paragraph.
Ah,
biur ha achronim bekavanas haRamban.
Oh well, now again,
and the previous
item. The previous paragraph was Rav Kivega, but he doesn't want to cut it short in the middle. You know what I mean? Let Rabbi Kivega finish his presentation, and then he's going to. What was the word you used? He's going to note Rabbi Kivega. What was the word you used?
He
would reference Rabbi Kivega. So he's only going to reference Rabbi Kivega when he finishes the entire, you know, the ratio of the safe, the whole presentation of Rabbi Kivega. Mm-hmm. But this is all Rabbi Kivega, and I only know this because of the
Mereshes Moshe.
Oh, the Mereshes Moshe.
Because it fits.
Yeah. he calls it Madura Kama. You know, there are many editions of Rabbi Kivega during his lifetime. This is not posthumous. And this is the original edition of Rabbi Kivega. I own a copy of the Drush V'Chidush. And there is to some extent an overlap between Rabbi Kivega's Madura Kama and the Drush V'Chidush. Did I ever show you the Drush V'Chidush? Oh, I'd love to show it to you. It's one of the most, one of my most favorite sfarim, because the Drush V'Chidush was ordered by Reb Shloime Eger, the son of Reb Kivega, during his father's lifetime, and in order to be mechabit his father, he ordered special paper that was produced solely for the purpose of publishing his father's chidush. This was his kibbut ah. And that paper is very special paper. It's very thick paper. And I have a copy of that. If you take the paper, every other page, up to the light, you will see in English the word Eger on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called a watermark. And that watermark is because of Shloime Eger, to fulfill Kibbut Av Eim, ordered that book with special paper that was produced simply for that purpose.
Where was that produced? Yeah.
In Posen, I think it's called. I've never been to Posen. I was in Poland, but I never got to Posen. So it's really fascinating that you can be mekayem the mitzvah of Kibbut Av by publishing your father's chidushim in the most beautiful way possible. Today also, you should know, there are so many different ways of publishing sefarim. Like, for example, this sefer is thin like anything. You know, if you spill something on this sefer, or if you accidentally, you know, folded this way or that way, it rips immediately. But there's other paper out in the market. This is also very thin paper. A lot of times they use thin paper because they...
It'd be too fat if you...
Exactly, because it's a very fat book.
Very heavy as well.
And if it were up to me, I would say publish it in different volumes and use better paper. If you've ever seen a sefer, I'll bring you a sefer. Somebody, one of my talmidim, just published a sefer on very thick paper. It's a pleasure. And not only that, if the thicker the paper, the clearer the print.
Mm-hmm.
So it even has an impact on the print itself.
Yeah, if you did that print on a thin paper, you wouldn't be able to read it because the other side... is
correct. Very often you get confused between one side and the other. You pick it up and you can't see. So I'll show you the Drush V'Chidush. You remind me to bring it in. It's like show and tell. I love that Drush V'Chidush.
Is it blue? the outside of the sefer is blue?
No, it's kind of like this grayish brown, you know. I'm not sure if I think it's the original cover, the original binding, I'm not sure. But the paper is for sure original. Today when you buy antique sefarim, what they do is they change the binding, because the old binding gets ruined over the course of time. But if it's really cool, if you get a binding from 4 centuries ago, the binding is not only large, but it also has clips. And the old days, in order to preserve a sefer, they added 2 clips onto the binding. And then you just simply lock the book inside its binding. And I own a few of those sefarim, not too many, but those are the real ancient ones. So again, let's just understand Reb Kivega's point. If the Ramban is right, then the whole enterprise of Shmuel's Nachbar Nat is based on Tam Shlishi, then that makes sense as far as the Kutak is concerned. It's not going to help you to justify Shmuel's conclusion that you're allowed to eat the whole concoction, meaning even the basa, even the dugim, because the dugim have now a tam sheni of basa v'chala, and this is going to lead ultimately to Rabbi Kivega's own opinion that ein mekach tam sheni atzmo lesar. But right now we're holding like the Ramban that tam sheni does have the power to generate isur. So why is it the why is the dugim also?
And they are b'tam sheni.
In the dugim, it's a tam sheni. It's a tam sheni coming from the original basar, and it's a tam sheni now coming from the chalav. Ubi yashiv haramban. Okay, this is the Ramban's answer. Now, I'm not sure if what we're about to learn is the be-all and end-all, meaning I think he's now quoting from the Ramban, but we're going to have to elucidate what the Ramban has in mind here. The Ramban says, Ein basar shebedogim osrim. Even though there's a tab of basar in the dogim, it will not generate an isur, and this is the Ramban who holds that tam sheni is osur. She'ein basa b'cholav oser ashis arvu im cholav yitnu tam zeba zeh. Wow. Now I begin to understand that line that I told you to underline twice, he repeats himself. The Ramban is based on the fact that you need for basa b'cholav a two-way street. I'll call it reciprocal, if I can use that word. Meaning that the basa gives tam into the chalav, and the chalav vice versa gives tam into the basa. If it's on a one-way street, says the Ramban, it's not called basa v'chalav. Now watch what happens in this case of dogim. While it's true that the chalav gives a tam, the kutach, into the dogim, but the dogim doesn't give tam into the tam basa into the kutach. The reason for that is that's already a tam shlishi, which the Ramban says is not considered tam at all. It's garnished. So just watch what happens here. You've got the dogi, correct?
Yeah.
And you've got the tam bus of the dogi. Now, when you add cholav, you're going to have to assume, according to the Ramban, in order to generate an isur basar cholav, that not only will the cholav give tam into the basar, into the dogi, meaning a tam cholav into the dogi, but vice versa as well, the tam of the basar has to go into the cholav, and that can't happen because the tam of the basar is already in tam sheni.
In the dogim.
And the tam sheni cannot be transferred over to the cholav because that would make it into a tam shlishi. So this is how the Ramban justifies that you're allowed to eat the dogim. And that's a pella, because the dogim have received both a tam of basar and a tam of cholav. But the answer is, since that dogim can't pass on the tam of basar to the cholav, therefore the cholav cannot generate an isur tam into the basar. Which means that the Ramban is operating with a brand new definition of basar v'cholav. What is basar v'cholav? Basar v'cholav means 2 things. Number one, that the basar gives tam into the cholav, and number 2, the cholav gives tam into the basar. If one of those 2 things is missing,
simultaneously. at the time.
I would assume so. I don't know, Lenny. You're asking me a more sophisticated question. I'm just trying to get back. You know, in baseball, we say first you have to get to first base before you get to second base.
What was the question?
He's asking if this is simultaneous.
Oh.
I'm assuming it's simultaneous, but that's not the main thrust of what we're saying at this point.
What about
the main thrust of what we're saying is? I'll give you. You know what? Let me stop for a moment. I'll ask you the following question. Let's say that I have a piece of basa mechalef here, right here.
Basa mechalef.
Right. I'll demonstrate it for you. Right. Let's say here. Well, all right. It broke on me, but it doesn't matter. Let's say this was basa mechalef. Okay, it's hot, and it's basa mechalef. Here, I have a piece of basa shchut, a basa het, and they touch each other. Do you remember that we discussed this one? Perhaps
in the year.
And what was the principle that operates here? Why would I be mad to this? What would be the svara?
Because there is no liquid.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's right.
Ein blia yotzeis mi basa lebasa below
rotev.
Rotev. Excellent. There's no rotev over here. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Okay, there's no rotev. But what about the basa itself? Like, for example, if this was nevela, hot nevela, and it came in direct contact with the gear without rotev, with a piece of basa shkuta, it would generate an iser. Let's call it kidei netila, whatever. We have to go through all the dinim of tatai gover and eli gover and so forth and so on. Why doesn't the same principle apply to basa mechalef? If this is the vela through the gear, it's going to generate an iser on the basa shkuta, but if this is not the veil, but rather it's basa mechalef.
Separately, then they are hetter.
Oh, so can I say it the way I want to say it, Lenny? You'll tell me if this is what you had in mind. What's going to happen here in this case of basa mechalef is that ein blia yotzeis. So the only thing that's going to go out here in this case is the basa, the tam of basa. The tam of basa is going to enter into the basa shchuta, the basa hetter, but the chalav is left behind. Why is the chalav left behind? Because the chalav is only a blia, and you can't get a blia out without rotev.
Right.
So what you're going to have here is a transfer of basa without a transfer of chalav. So why do I mention this to you at this juncture? Because that might shed a light on this Rabban. The Rabban is saying that there's no capacity of the basar, in the case of Dagin, to transfer that basar over to the chalav. And why is that? Because that would be a tam shlishin. But I'll ask you, but on the other hand, the chalav has the capacity to inject its tam into the Dagin, because that's already tam rishon. The answer is that chalav into basar is not basar chalav. I need chalav into basar and basar into chalav. Similar to the case of the Ein Bli Yotzeis below rotev, that I can transfer over the Tam Basa, but I'm leaving behind the Tam Chol. I need both Tamim to generate the Iser Basa Chol.
Where does the principle of Aydi Dittori Liflot Lo Bala come in? How does it work in a two-way street with that?
No, I'm just saying that if, let's say, you would take liver, covered,
okay,
which is saturated with dam,
right,
and you would place it into a kedera of meat, regular kosher meat,
And it's unkashered liver.
Unkashered liver.
Yeah.
So what would happen is the dam that's niflat
from the liver
would now penetrate into the basar heter.
Right.
But the other way around, we wouldn't say it, meaning that even after that dam is nivla into the kosher meat, and now it becomes also the Torah's dam,
right,
there won't be a process by which that dam will go back into the kovet. Again, you have to know a little bit more about the Isur dam. The Isur dam applies after it's porish. Right? Dam shalom porish b'nachai is mutter. So that the kovet itself, even though it's saturated with dam, will be mutter. I just have to get rid of the dam.
Right.
But if that dam now becomes also after it's poresh and it goes back in. Well, you know what? I'm making life too complicated. Let's just talk about malicha. Right? You salt covet. So what did you do? You have a piece of covet and you salt it. Well, where's the dam going?
It's going into the salt. It's coming
out. Oh, okay. Then it's exactly equivalent to my case from before. But let's say it wouldn't go into the salt, right? There's some accumulation of dam in the kli itself. Then I would apply the principle of Aydin the Torah Liflo Lo Bali, which means that since the kaved is totally preoccupied with the polev,
right,
then it's too preoccupied to be free to be boleh.
Right.
If you follow what I mean.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes I felt when my Rebbe would explain something and a Talmud in the Shir would make a comment, it didn't always sink in. Because he was Torah Liflop. He was right. So Torah in transmitting the Torah.
He didn't always understand.
Right. So I don't want to say I imitated my Rebbe, because that would be a very bad excuse, you know, for why I don't always hear what people are saying. But, you know, this concept of Torah Liflop.
Yeah.
I never understood exactly how these pieces of meat are so intelligent that they know all the psychological rules. You know, and there's so many of these rules.
Judge Judy says, you have two ears and one mouth. That's a message.
That what?
Listen twice as much as you talk.
Oh, I see. Listen twice as much as you talk. Very good. So this is the Rabban's brilliant, brilliant presentation. The Achronim, Biaru, Bekavonis Rabban, Shaladaito, Ein Bosom Chol, Nesorim, Elam, Bemokom, Shagama, Bosom, Nosin Tam, Bechol, Vegama, Chol, Nosin Tam, Bosom. It's got to be a two-way street. Ach biofet zeh, but in our particular scenario, where the basar, the tam basar is a tam sheni, and we're holding now, according to the Ramban, that tam sheni, if it's passed on to something else, doesn't have the power to generate an iser, it's powerless because it's a tam sheni going into a tam shlishi, is ein mekochem liteg tam becholov. Is therefore, this is the radical chiddush of the Ramban, af hacholov eino osas tam abasar shevidogim, because if the basar is not osa the cholov, then the cholov can't be osa the basar. They always have to be on equal ground. The af shev apol nosi tam bedogim. So let's say for example, if I were to give these dogim to a kfela, to an expert, and ask him to taste it, he would definitely taste the milk, because this piece of fish is now soaking. It's completely shruya in chalav, but nevertheless, it would still be mutter. Mikol kameinu osro shekola isu hurak im shneim asurim. Only if it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yesh lahosif but says sharei mid rabbanon also lechol basar v'chol of yachad. Wait a minute, you know, you're telling me that technically there's no basar v'chol, meaning you're going back to
there's no bishul.
There's no doraisa, right? In the doraisa
there
sense,
are
but
the Torah.
We know that mid rabbanon you're not even allowed to eat milk and meat in the same seuda, let alone in the same morsel.
Right.
So that now he's eating cholov together with the tam of basar. So I would have said, let's see if I'm right, that is a drabanon that only applies when you have tam rishon, meaning if you're going to take a piece of meat and eat it together with a piece of cheese, that's where the rabbanon are going to say we're afraid that you'll cook it together, etc., etc. But here, when we're talking about something that's already cooked, in the case of the dogim, and there's no tam of basar that's going into the kutach, then there's no iser even to put them both in your mouth at the same time. That far the Rabbanu never went. V'afshem tzodanim v'lon ispash yach v'enom nosat tam v'shabin ha-torah mutal v'fayim kom kom yasud Rabbanu v'ken yesh lahamin eich mutal lechol dogim im cholav harei b'dogim yesh tam sheni me'abasar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The af She'eino osu min haTorah dan yesh makom laOsran midrabbanan. Yeah, but the answer is you're only dealing with tam. The gzeirah derabbanan is when you eat the be'en of chalav with basar. That's prohibited. You can't eat cheese with meat. People would think that's the worst aveir in the world. It's only a derabbanan because everything is cold, but you're not allowed to eat it simultaneously, meat and milk. But here, you're not eating meat with the milk, you're eating fish with the milk. So he quotes the Yad Yehuda, Shekol Masher Rabbanan Asu Lechol Basu B'cholav, even though that's so named, that's Mishum Shem Re'uyim Litein Tam Zevazeh. Whoa, he said something a little bit more sophisticated than what I said. I thought it was a difference between Tam and Be'ed. He's saying it's a question whether it's Roy Litein Tam or it's not Roy Litein Tam. So if you took cheese and meat in the same mouthful, it's royally tame tam zemes. If you would cook it together in a hot pot, it would be no sing tam zemes.
But he's saying,
but here,
im lo nitzbashlu.
Are you up to the word ach? Because I didn't go beyond the word ach. Where are you up to?
Just before that.
Oh, well, achin yesh lesser afim lo nitzbash. So you could have cold cheese with cold meat,
yeah.
But it's roi if you would cook them in a pot.
If you were you to cook it, then it would be basar.
And that's what the Rabbanan prohibited. Right. They prohibited it, even though it's tzodeh, because it's roi to become basar b'cholav if you would heat up the pot. Ach. Oh, in contrast, now we have the case of nat bar nat with the fish. The ofen bo. In other words, no matter how many hours you would cook the fish with milk, it would still not have the koch litei tam, meaning the tam of cholav would go into the basar, but not the reverse, and the tam of basar, which is the tam sheni, would never create a tam shlishi in the cholav. So it's not ra'ui for the iser of basar b'chol, the way the Rabban defines the iser of basar b'chol, harei mutarim af min Rabban. Mm-hmm. So if I would quiz you and ask you, is there a scenario in which you're allowed to eat kutach, milchiks, yeah. which has a mixture of tam basar in it, then you're, and even in Rabbanan it would be mutter to eat that, you know, you would say to me, oh no, it's impossible, right? This would be the scenario. Why? Because they're not royally te tam zebazeh. Because the tam of the basar is always going to become from a tam sheni into a tam shlishi. And therefore you're allowed to eat this fish with milk, even though the fish has a tam sheni of basar, which according to Rabban, tam sheni is asur. Kayman she'emem koch lite tam b'chol of the basar, insofar as it's a tam sheni, does not have the power or the potential to generate an iser in the chol of Alt Tam Shlish.
Because it's a sheni.
Right, a sheni can't create a shlishi, so this basar would never ever be able to create an iser basar b'cholav, no matter how long you cook it with milk, right. From now until doomsday, it wouldn't make any bit of difference.
Right.
And the reason for that is because it's a tam sheni which cannot generate a tam shlishi. Now, what I'm looking for is Rabbi Kivega's own shita, which I'm having trouble finding right now. Let's just go on a little bit. And he says the following, L'das ha-cholkim, she'heta shal nat bar nat hu ha-tam ha-sheni bi'atzmo. Oh, that might be Rabbi Kivega. Let's see. She'hu atzmo eino choshev ki-tam, the ein chal of isur, so it's not tam ki'ikar because it's a tam sheni. Lekach dogim, hadogim einam osrim, einam asur mitzad tam habosa shebohem. So da yesh lodun ma hasiba shachalav mutar harehu mekabel tam shlishi. So we said over and over again that the Torah doesn't recognize the power of a tam sheni to generate a tam shlishi. The kosav hachazurish pozeh shlosha drachim. Three approaches of the chazurish. Let's just open the door just to see if it's time for Bittar.
Footnote Yud Aleph mentions Rabbi Akiva Eger right at the beginning.
So that's good, because I think what we're getting to is Rabbi Akiva Eger. But let's just quickly until they... yeah, Jeff, keep the door open. Keep the door open. Okay, we'll have to go for Bittar now, but I just want to point out that Tom, the first explanation is the one that we've been operating with until now, that a Tom Shady is Kolosh. So Tom Shady cannot generate an Isar. Now he offers two other explanations. We'll see that, but we'll end there tomorrow.